他说很多人跑，但是第一个人得到冠冕。你们应该跑的怎么样跑法呢？跑了呢，你自己能够得到冠冕。哇，你说保罗，你太骄傲了。什么叫骄傲呢？他是为了主的荣耀。这个人跑是义，是不是为了国家的荣耀，还单单为他自己的荣耀呢？那么我们在这个赛跑里面，是不是为了有荣耀主能够得到冠冕呢？并且我们要得到的冠冕是永远的冠冕。很多人跑啊，就是得到这个世界上的冠冕而已。所以我们刚才看到的是什么？宋尚杰那个时候有人问他，他说你本来是化学博士，你去传道干什么？他这个在这个济南这个大学里面布道的时候，一个大学生问他，那宋尚杰就问他，他说你念什么呢？他说我念化学。宋尚杰说我也是念化学。他说你念化学干什么呢？他说我念化学为了可以毕业了，毕业呢可以得到一点工作了。他说那么你毕业工作以后怎么样？他说那么我可以结婚。他说结婚以后怎么样？他说我有孩子。他说还有以后怎么样？以后就生活下去了，找一个房子住啊。他说以后还有怎么样了？以后怎么样？以后不知道怎么样了，以后就可能就死了。他说死了怎么样？他说死了去没有怎么样，我还没想到。他说我看你这个人好像相当聪明的一个人，但是你想到坟墓就没有想更远了。他说我跟你讲为什么我传道，你做工作，你想往前面讲，只想到将来过几年的生活怎么样，但是我所想到的是永生，但你没有想到嘛。我跟你一样念化学，我念了化学我也可以教书工作买房子结婚，以后怎么样？以后就完了。我这个观念呢、就送掉了，就放在坟墓里面去烂掉了。但是我想的要得到的观念就在永生那边的观念，是不能废掉的观念，是不能这个烂掉的一种观念，永久的观念。是你的思想在什么地方？但我看你聪明，但是你还没有想到更够远的地方。所以主耶稣十九节跟我们讲，一个愿意在神的国里面做什么一种样子的人，是大的还是小的人物，是得到上帝的这个喜悦的人呢，还是得不到上帝的喜悦？因为大小就是得到上帝的喜悦还是不得到上帝的喜悦，对吧？ So the greatness of the kingdom of God entirely depends on whether or not we have been pleasing to God. It is not something earned, it is something given to us. That is whether we have been pleasing to God or not. But we must hurry to our last point, where the Lord Jesus says, I tell you, unless your righteousness exceeds that of the Pharisees, you will never, never enter the kingdom of God. The standard here is of the Pharisees, like the high jump. Unless you get over that, you are not going to get to the victory. You are not going to make it. And I said to you a moment ago, many people think, oh, that's easy. Pharisees, they are hypocrites. I'm not a hypocrite. Wait a minute, are you sure you're not? You know, the Pharisees didn't think they were hypocrites either. Don't think that the Pharisees were people who went around behaving as hypocrites intentionally. The greatest tragedy of the spiritual life is to be a hypocrite without knowing it. Don't think that the Pharisees consciously knew that they were hypocrites. Not at all. That would be a complete misrepresentation of the Pharisees. You've got to know something about the Pharisees. The Pharisees, well, they were a group of people. You might call it a sect, an organization. And the very word Pharisee meant people who were separated from the crowd. Separated in what way? Separated in their total devotion to the law of God. The Pharisees' one aim was to do the law of God to its smallest detail. They commit their entire life to obey God's law. The Pharisees rose at a time, after a time when the law was being challenged, when people were throwing the law away, when Greek culture was invading Palestine, invading Israel. The Pharisees rose up in defense of the law, as the Maccabees had done before them. The Pharisees were people of enormous piety and devotion. You must once and for all get rid of the notion that Pharisees were a bunch of foolish hypocrites, of whom not worthy of mention. The Pharisees were a very respected, highly respected group of people. Respected, that is, by the whole people of Israel for the high standard of their righteousness. But let me tell you, the Pharisees often staked their life in defense of the law. They were fearless in their defense of the law. They practiced the law down to the greatest detail. They fasted, not required by the law, but they went beyond the law. In their devotion to God, they fasted twice a week. Which of you fast once a week, once a month, once a year? Any of you dare to raise your hand to say you fasted once a month? The Pharisees fast twice a week. You say, well, that's just works. Wait a minute. What's wrong with works? Works of devotion. Paul says, we have been ordained to good works. God has saved us and ordained us to good works. What's so shameful about good works? The Pharisees fasted twice a week, on Mondays, on Thursdays. The whole day they fasted. They gave their tithes of everything, one-tenth of everything they had. Do you give a tenth of what you have? Do you really? Would your account bear inspection? Would you like to open your account for inspection? One-tenth of everything they were sure to give, and often they gave more. And that has not yet passed away, has it? The minimum for a Christian is surely one-tenth. When we give one-tenth, we give God what is His own. That was required of the law. The Pharisees gave one-tenth and again went beyond the law. They tithed even what was not required by the law. I said fasting was not required by the law except on one day of the year, the Day of Atonement. But the Pharisees fasted twice a week, voluntarily. The Pharisees gave 10% of everything they had, and they even tithed what was not required by the law. You will see that in the words where the Lord Jesus says in Matthew 23:23, in that passage which is very important, and I think we should turn to it, where He condemns them for their hypocrisy, but we will see in a moment what it means. In Matthew 23:23, it says, "Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites! For you tithe mint and dill and cumin and have neglected the weightier matters of the law, justice and mercy and faith." Notice, these you ought to have done without neglecting the others. You ought, yes, he says you were right in giving tithe. You were right to fast. He says you ought to have done this, but you should not have neglected the other. Notice, the Lord Jesus said it was not necessary to do all that. You should instead have only paid attention to justice and mercy and the love of God. Not at all. He says, you were right in doing this, but that was not enough. Now, I would like you to understand then, to clear away from your mind the old conception of the Pharisees as a bunch of superficial hypocrites. They were nothing of the sort. And in fact, many scholars have rightly protested that the Christian notion of the Pharisees is a complete caricature of the Pharisees. Do you know, if I tell you some of the people who were Pharisees, you know who was a Pharisee? Paul himself was a Pharisee. Would you accuse him of hypocrisy? Paul three times declares himself to be a Pharisee, and he declares this with great pride. In fact, in Acts chapter 23, he does not say, "I was a Pharisee," but when defending himself in the council, he said, "I am a Pharisee." Striking tense. And having checked the tense in the original, I was impressed that it is certainly in the present tense. So Paul says, for example, in Acts chapter 23 and verse 6, he said, "Brethren, I am a Pharisee and a son of a Pharisee. With respect to the hope and the resurrection of the dead, I am on trial. I am a Pharisee." So before you start waxing easy, say, "Oh, Pharisee, the righteousness of the Pharisees is easy to meet," I challenge you to meet the righteousness of Paul even before he was converted. In Philippians chapter 3, he says again, "I am a Pharisee." And he says, "As to the law, blameless." You know who else was a Pharisee? Nicodemus was. Nicodemus was a Pharisee. And he was the one who brought 100 pounds of myrrh and aloes to the grave. He was not afraid to stand up and be counted with the disciples in front of Pilate. You say these are all hypocrites? You know who was another Pharisee? A Pharisee was called Gamaliel in Acts chapter 5, who defended the apostles when they were being tried before the Sanhedrin. Let us throw away the fallacious notion that Pharisees were all a bunch of silly hypocrites. They were people highly respected in Israel for their enormous standard of godliness. They lived a righteous life at tremendous cost to themselves. And they were not afraid to die for the law, even sometimes misguidedly. For example, under the Romans, the number of Pharisees who died in defense of the law of Israel and at the Roman sword was really impressive. So before you start saying, well, Pharisees, easy to meet that. Not at all. And you say, if that standard is so high to reach, then why does the Lord Jesus call them hypocrites? Precisely. Why did he call them hypocrites? Because, like so many religious people, they emphasize only the external performance of things. 我们在二十节里面, 主耶稣说, 除非你们的正义,你们的义,胜过法利赛人, 你们断不能进上帝的国。那你可能想, 那法利赛人都是假冒伪善的人, 那是很容易, 我能够达到他们这个义, 那是太容易了。 这样的思想是完完全全的错误的。法利赛人的义，他们的水准是非常非常高的。我们对法利赛人的认识和有很仔细的认识，因为我们今天有很多参考书关于法利赛人。你越是看法利赛人的历史的时候，你就知道他们的正义是非常高的。他们呢，每个礼拜两次进食。 他们礼拜一跟礼拜四进食，所以呢，在主耶稣的比喻里面，你记得那个法利赛神说：“我感谢上帝，我不像这个税吏一样，我每个礼拜两次进食。”他说的话是对的，礼拜一跟礼拜四他们都是进食，他们什么东西都是十分一奉献给主的。我请问你们这些基督徒，你们是觉得自己是很好的？ 请问你们进食有没有一年里面一次？出于爱主的心而进食，不是出于法律。你知道法利赛人不是因为有法律的规定要两次进食，没有这种规定，是他们自愿每一个礼拜两次进食。哪一个基督徒自愿为中国祷告或者为教会祷告有进食一天？有没有？你们这里当中有医院里面进食过一次的？ 或者举手给我们大家看看，没有吗？你们说你们这个法利赛人的义那么容易可以达到？法利赛人十分义，什么东西的收入十分义都奉献，但是不但是法律要求他们奉献的，就是法律上不要求他们奉献的，他也十分义奉献。譬如说这个家庭花园里面的小菜，他们种的一些芹菜。 一些这个薄花，这种他们都是这个奉献十分义，法律没有要求的这种奉献，他们都奉献，是出于他们的这个爱法律的心而奉献。但是我们今天很多基督徒哪里给了十分义？有没有十分义献奉献出来？我知道教会的账目，我知道没有十分义。那么怎么样奉献呢？ 我们这么容易就达到法利赛人的义吗？不要欺骗自己，千万不要欺骗自己。法利赛人的义并不是那么容易达到的。法利赛人爱法律的地步是到什么地步？在罗马时代，他们甘心把自己的生命舍下，为了法律的缘故而死。你说你有这样的心吗？那你说好了，那么如果是这样， 为什么主耶稣还说他们是假冒伪善呢？这一点我们要清楚了解，要想想。What is meant by hypocrisy? And when you understand what Jesus meant by hypocrisy, you are not going to be too quick to assume that you are free of hypocrisy. Jesus did not say that they were not pious. Jesus did not say that they were not earnest. Jesus did not say that they were
unrighteous. What did he say? He said they were hypocritical. What does hypocritical mean? It means to emphasize the external performance to the neglect of the internal, to the neglect of what relates to the heart. In other words, we can be so taken up with doing things that we forget what we ought to be. Now you know, this applies every bit to the Christian. There is an awful lot of hypocrisy in the church. Hypocrisy in every aspect. You say you love God, I would challenge you every way down the list. You say you love God, that Jesus died for you and love Him? Hypocrite. Let's see the evidence of your love for Him. Show me the evidence of your love. Take it out and let us see it. That's what James said. You say you have faith? Take it out and let me have a look at it. Where is your faith? The church is full of hypocrites. Hypocrites. You love God with all your heart and soul and strength. And the slightest problem comes to you and you blame God for the whole business. You love God, do you? Jesus died for us that we should live for Him. Where have you lived for Him, brothers and sisters? When have you lived for Him during the past week? Never mind theoreticals. During this past week, Monday, what did you do for Him? Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, name it. Come out with the facts and stop deceiving yourself. If Jesus were here, I dare you look in His face when you say, you love me? Where is the evidence of that love? You say you are not a hypocrite? You love me? How much did you offer to the Lord? Oh, you say, but I have lots of expenses. Sure, we all have expenses. And therefore we don't have to give anything, because we all have expenses. Which of us are rich? We give out of the love for God, not because we have money. And you love God? When did you fast? When you last prayed? When you prayed for China, or prayed for Canada, or prayed for the church, or prayed for the Lord's servants? When in your earnestness did you pray so that you were willing to fast? Oh no, when you prayed halfway, so my stomach is hurt. Excuse me, Lord, wait till I have my lunch. I'll see you afterwards. But afterwards, of course, you were too busy. Your friend came to call, you had this and that to do. And by nighttime, you said, sorry, Lord, I was a bit busy today, you see. Hypocrites. Your righteousness exceeds that of the Pharisees. Let me tell you something more. The Pharisees prayed 3 times a day. How many times do you pray a day? Or you don't think it matters whether you pray at all, because you are saved by grace. Pharisees prayed at 9 o'clock in the morning. They prayed at 12 noon. And then they prayed at 3 o'clock in the afternoon. What's your prayer life like? Better than the Pharisees, eh? 5 minutes in the morning? 2 minutes? 2 minutes at night? Hypocrite, my friends. And you say you love God in your heart. You say the Pharisees only do the outward performance, you know. I love God in my heart, so I don't have to pray at all. Because the outward performance doesn't matter. Perfect logic that suits a hypocrite. And you see, I love God so much that, you know, tithes and offerings, these belong to the law. So since I love God so much, I don't have to give Him a penny. Perfect reasoning of a hypocrite. And we say we are not hypocrites. We are righteous. Our righteousness has exceeded the Pharisees. We are not hypocrites. The church is full of hypocrites. It would be enough to make you weep to see the hypocrisy that goes on. You love God. You're going to serve Him. But all you are concerned is your exam, your future life, how you are going to pass your exams, how you're going to get a good job. God's work doesn't cross your mind except in your spare time. Your leftovers are for God. If you have 5 minutes to spare, maybe God can have it if the TV doesn't get it. And your righteousness exceeds the Pharisees. Don't feel so self-complacent. The one thing God cannot stand is self-complacency. And that is exactly what the Pharisees were. Their hypocrisy lay in their self-righteousness, their self-satisfaction. I thank God I am not like this man. And that attitude is too common in the churches. I thank God I'm not like that non-Christian. I thank God that I am among the elect of God. That's exactly what the Pharisees thought. And you think exactly the same way. I thank God I'm not like that filthy guy who smokes those dirty cigarettes. I thank God that I don't touch a drop of wine. Wine doesn't touch my lips. I am so self-righteous. I once went into a pub, and a person saw me in the pub, and he was shocked. What are you doing in a pub? I don't know if you know what a pub is. In England, that is where, here they call it a bar or something, or brasserie or whatever it is. In England, it's called a pub, a public house. What are you doing in a pub? What's wrong with being in a pub? Publicans and sinners, tax collectors. Jesus mixed with them. As though you go in a pub, if you drink a sip of wine, which I didn't drink incidentally, I only had soft drink in the pub. But even if you drank a sip of wine, hi-ya, you're finished, my friend. You're heading for hell. You've had it. And you read the Sunday newspaper, you're even going further down into hell. My friend, and you wear mini skirts? Hear me, you're finished. And you put on lipstick? And in some parts the Christians will say, if you drank coffee or tea, you're also fit for hell. Such things are not to be drunk by Christians. And you have no lords? You don't follow outward behavior? In certain parts the Christians are not supposed to wear nice shiny dress, nice clothing, fancy ties? No. You have to wear black things. That's why if you go to Germany, you'll find that the standard Christians, the perfect Christians, they wear a black skirt, black jacket, white shirt, black tie. That's the uniform of a good Christian. You wear anything else, you're fit for hell. So we see that we too are hypocrites. We are very hypocritical. Search me, O God, and try my heart and know my thoughts. Because what is involved is eternal life. Jesus says, unless your righteousness exceeds that. Exceeds what? Exceeds that's hypocrisy of the Pharisees. Unless your Christianity and your faith in God is so much less superficial than theirs. He says, what do you neglect? He says, you neglect justice. He said to the Pharisees, Matthew 23. You neglect mercy. You neglect faith, the love of God. You neglect these things? Look at the relationship between Christians and the church. And if you say, I don't neglect mercy, I don't neglect any of these things, look at the relationship of Christians in the church. How many churches are divided? How many brothers and sisters look at each other and they don't, not on talking terms? Hypocrites. You haven't neglected mercy. You love your neighbor as yourself. Oh, brothers and sisters, I plead for honesty, that God may search our hearts and save us from that superficial Christianity of which the Pharisees were guilty. Superficial religion. Outward religion. That being a Christian is not smoking, not drinking, not reading Sunday papers, and not doing this, not doing that, not going to the dance hall, not going to the cinema. What is a Christian supposed to do? I had a friend, he became a Christian. He was once a playboy and a very handsome fellow, a real guy that drove all the girls mad, you know. And he became a Christian. And he stopped going to the dance hall, he stopped smoking, he stopped drinking. And one day we were having a meal together and one of his friends came and opened a bottle of wine and said, come on, have a glass. And he said, no, thanks. He said, dear me, he says, you mean to say becoming a Christian is not smoking, not drinking, not going to dance halls? He says, what do you do? Good question. Good question. What does the Christian do? We know what he doesn't do. Maybe we'd like to know what he does do. What would you say in reply to that question? Well, too often he is contented with his Christianity of not doing anything. He doesn't do anything. And that's the trouble. Being a Christian is doing something. Is being righteous beyond that standard.
我们刚才看到的，就是做基督徒，我们很容易说法利赛人都是假冒伪善。但是什么叫做假冒伪善？什么叫做假冒伪善？
并不是说主并不是说法利赛人都是故意的假冒为善，假冒为善乃是外表上注重了外表，忽略了里面应该有的东西。忽略了什么呢？就是忽略了正义，忽略了爱心，对人的爱心，对弟兄姐妹的爱心，对神的爱心，这些都忽略了。我们以为做基督徒就是不抽烟、不喝酒、不看戏、不跳舞，这种就是基督徒。这什么叫基督徒啊？你就不喝烟、不吃酒，这个就叫做基督徒吗？所以我有一个朋友，他信了主，信了主以后呢，他是经常这个一天到晚就喝酒、抽烟、跳舞的人。信了主以后，他也不喝酒、不跳舞，也不抽烟。那人家就问他：“你做基督徒这些个都不做了，那么到底你做什么呢？”但是很多基督徒这个问题就答不出了。你到底跟别人不同，就是在这些地方吗？所以呢，我看到基督徒当中很多就是假冒为善。假冒为善是怎么样的？就是说，你说我信了主，我非常爱主啊。你爱主怎么样爱法呢？是不是在你的奉献上可以看到吗？是不是在你爱弟兄姐妹上可以看到呢？教会里面有纷争，为什么有结党呢？你说爱主吗？爱主有纷争有结党吗？我看到很多基督徒的生活真是惭愧，比不上个非基督徒。一点点小问题啊，就在那儿叽叽喳喳的。哎呀，这个有这个问题，我今天那儿那个问题。我知道很多非基督徒啊，他们很多很多烦恼在他们的生命里面，但是一生也不想，一生也不想。你知道我的母亲，她没有信主以前，我非常佩服她。我常常想到，我们做基督徒如果达不到一个非基督徒的生活水准的话，那么我们算了，基督徒也不要做。我非常佩服我的母亲，她怎么样？她经过多少的苦难，身体病了又病，病了又病，身体痛得不得了。有时候他有一种这个叫做 migraine， 哇，这个厉害，痛得三天了，痛得怎么样？这个汗都流下来。他有没有发出一句怨言来？有没有在那儿说什么这个什么这个怨话？一点声音都没有，从来都不出一句话，更不要说骂上帝。我自己一句话痛苦的话都不说。我看他的生活，我说我们基督徒啊，做不到一个非基督徒的生活水准，还要自称为基督徒，就惭愧，算了，基督徒都不要做，不然是让上帝得到羞辱。我们要在主的面前，让每一个人在主的面前被上帝所审查，看看我们心里面的假冒伪善是怎么样的。因为这是得救不得救的问题。 It is time for us to close, but we must understand, we must reach the standard of righteousness that Jesus requires. We must go forth into this world, as we saw earlier, as the lights of the world, as the salt of the earth. And the Christians of today will hardly be described as either of these. We must reach the standard that Jesus set for us. And he says, I send you out as light in the world, salt of the earth.Distinct from the multitude. By what? By your light. What is light? Righteousness. What is righteousness? Jesus said it himself. These are the good works that come by the power of God. Make no excuses for failure. Let God search our hearts and go out and live as he calls us to do. But one last point, and the point is this. How can I meet such a standard? How can I live at this high calling?How can I be the light of the world? I can't reach it, Lord. And we'll be inclined to give up in despair. We'll say, Lord, I can't make it. Let me tell you my experience as I close. I was a Christian for 3 years or so. And when I came out of China, I had suffered many things, I had learned many things. But I felt that the standard of my Christian life was still too low. I felt that many times I had failed the Lord in my conduct,in my thinking. And you know what most Christians do? They go back to God and say, Lord, forgive me my sins. Cleanse me with the precious blood and help me never do it again. And they do it the next day again. And so the next night they say, Lord, and forgive me, and they start all over again. And I was fed up of doing this kind of thing. And one day I remember I was in Hong Kong, and I came back from church. I didn't remember a word that was said in church. I was walking along the road and I felt utterly depressed. And I said, Lord, my Christian life is so poor. I think other people thought I was a wonderful Christian, but I knew my own self. I asked God to search my heart, and there what he showed me was that I had failed him in every direction. And although everybody else thought I was a wonderful Christian, I knew better. I knew I wasn't. And I was fed up of this hypocrisy. Not that I intentionally wanted to be hypocritical, but that I simply could not attain to the standard that Jesus wanted me to live up to. And I remember that day I came back to the hostel where I was staying in Hong Kong, in Granville Road. I knelt down before God and I said, Lord, it's no use. I can't live the Christian life. I give up. I don't want to dishonor your name anymore. I love you, Lord, and I don't want to dishonor your name. From henceforth, I don't want to call myself a Christian anymore. I don't want to disappoint all those people who thought I was such a good Christian. I just pray that you'll forgive me. I always love you, but I don't want to take your name in vain. And you know, the Lord spoke to me. This is one of several times in which he spoke to me. And he speaks to those who come to him in an earnest and honest spirit. He said, I have never asked you to live the Christian life in your own strength. I have never asked you. I said, Lord, how am I going to live it then? He said, in the strength that I have provided. He said, that's why I have given you my Holy Spirit. You have been trying to live in your own strength. That's where you have failed. That's exactly where the Pharisees failed, you see. They had a high standard and they tried with all their own strength to live up to that high standard. And outwardly, they succeeded. Outwardly, I succeeded too. Everybody thought I was a fine Christian. One of the leaders of the young people in the church that I had in Shanghai. And in Hong Kong, I was already known by the news that had come ahead of me. But I knew what I really was. I knew that in my heart, there was a lot of hypocrisy. The Lord said, I haven't asked you to live in your own strength. Live by the power of my spirit. I said, Lord, how? How can I live by the power of your spirit? He says, stop struggling and let the spirit take over. Yield yourself to the Holy Spirit's control. Like a car, hand over the steering wheel to him. He will take over. You've been trying so hard to live the Christian life that you haven't given God a chance to show his power in your life. You have been doing all the striving and all the struggling, and where does God come in? But now you stop and let God take over your life. You know, it was a new experience in my life. I knelt down before the Lord again and I said, Lord, here's all my life. You take over full charge. You take over and run my life as you would have me run it. Just you carry on, and I will just be doing whatever you want me to do. You show me what I should think, what I should feel, what I should do, what I shall say. I shall not go there and stick on my teeth, how are you today, huh? Be nice and pat him on the back and all be real cheery, rosy Christian. Stop that stuff. Just let God live his life in you. Stop all the acting. And let's just be genuine. Let God live his life right through me in his power. You know, that was such an experience for me that it was revolutionary. I wondered why nobody had ever told me about that before. I had tried so hard to live the Christian life, couldn't make it. And God took over. That is why we need the Holy Spirit. How can we exceed the righteousness of the Pharisees in only two ways? First, of course, we have to hand over our life completely to God. That is when we become regenerate. But we must go beyond that too, to just a confession of believing in Jesus in the normal sense, and let Jesus fill our lives with his Holy Spirit. Be filled with the Spirit. And because this teaching is not sufficiently understood, there is a great deal of confusion in the churches. But the result is that the Pentecostal says you've got to be filled and so speak in tongues. You know, mighty men of God have been filled but never spoken in tongues. In fact, the Lord Jesus himself, who had the Spirit without measure, is never reported to have been spoken in any tongue. But it is the importance of being filled with the Spirit. And you know, for me, that was a transforming experience, a Pentecostal experience, if you like. The whole thing seemed so simple, but when I got up from my knees, having handed the whole control of my life over to God. I became a new person. The Christian life ceased to be a struggle and a battle. And from now on, God was in charge. I don't know whether you can follow what I mean, but if you follow those steps, you will enter into a new phase of the Christian life, a spirit-filled phase of the Christian life. Every Christian must be filled with the Spirit, otherwise he'll never make it. To be filled with the Spirit is the normal Christian life. It's not some new, unusual experience. It must be the normal thing in the Christian life. And then God takes over in your life. You know, many Christians have never taken that step, with the result that they live through all their Christian life in a beggarly system. And if you live without God taking control, let me tell you this, you can never escape from hypocrisy. And the result is, you will always be like the Pharisees. That is why there's so much hypocrisy in the church, because there are too few spirit-filled Christians. Search me, O Lord, try my heart. And if you find how great is what is wanting there, then say, Lord, take over my whole life. I have struggled, I have fought, I can't make it. Who asks you to fight and struggle? His power is there. He takes over. And wonderful things happen. You become a channel of his power. So much so that God begins to do things for you. And where he'll take you on from there is without limit. You might find that one day you lay hands on the sick and he is healed, as I have found again and again. And you find that you pray for a person and the person has changed. It's amazing. What's happening? You find that the prayer life is no longer a battle to think of what to pray. You just relax before God and let him take full control. And he guides you into what to pray. Have you experienced that wonderful time of prayer? Where you just be quiet before God and God say, I want you to pray for this person. So you pray for that person. You say, what shall I pray for that person? He tells you what to pray. And you pray for that person. And then you say, well, who else? And the Lord leads you on to another person. You pray for that person. Or you just spend time worshiping and praising the Lord. You know what it means to be filled with the Spirit? If not, it's about time you found out. Because without being filled with the Spirit, you will never exceed the righteousness of the Pharisees.
我们最后看到，我们要超过法利赛人的正义，不是那么容易一件事情。法利赛人是用他们自己的力量来活出一个圣洁的生命来。 那么我分享的就是我自己以前也是这样，信了主以后，我非常爱主，我是尽力来做出喜悦主喜悦的事情，我也尽量要活出一个荣耀上帝的生命来，用尽我自己的力量，但是达不到，到最后非常失望。我最后就祷告，我就说主啊，我实在活不出你要我活的这种生命，我没有这种能力，做不到。 所以我说主啊，我是爱你，但是我活不出这个生命来，所以我现在呢，也不愿意自称为基督徒了，不愿意假冒为善了。我就今后呢，我继续爱你，但是不自称为基督徒了。但是主就跟我说，在这个时候你们有很宝贵的一个时期，主跟我说，我并没有叫你靠你自己的力量来活我的生命来，我是把圣灵赐给你嘛。 你为什么靠你自己的力量来做？我把圣灵给你，你不要，还在那儿自己尽力在干。啊，我说对不起，主，实在没有看到这一点。所以我在那个时候以后就把自己的生命完全交托给主，让他的能力，让他的圣灵充满了我。这样我就发现一个新的经验：圣灵充满了以后，活出一个圣洁的生活来，就不成为一种战斗了。 发现因为他的能力在那儿，活出这个圣洁的生活来。但是今天很多基督徒呢，根本不知道何为圣灵充满，以为这个大概是跟神召会、五旬节那些个东西有关系。圣灵充满是一个很简单的圣经里面的教训，就是每一个人要把圣灵接受到自己的生活来，让圣灵来控制你的生活，圣灵来给你你所需要的力量。 这样你就进入一个新的阶段，你有没有经验到这种新的阶段？这种新的力量在你的生活里面活动，这样你会发现到上帝的力量是何等的大。有时候你为人祷告，那病人就得到医治，我们往往就经验到这一点。
或者为某一个人祷告，他的生命得到改变，是圣灵在你的生命里面工作了，你成为一个新的人物。但是没有圣灵，你就永远达不到这个要求，就是要超过法利赛人的意，因为他们是靠自己的努力来达到上帝的荣耀，来达到上帝的这个正义的水准，没有办法达到。但是很多基督徒还是这样，没有得到圣灵充满，没有把圣灵接受到自己的生命来，还在那儿自己干了、啊、干不好，干到最后灰心了，完了最后说我做不到，办不到，我这个基督徒也不用做，灰心到这种地步。弟兄姐妹，我们今天要看到主耶稣的教训，要知道超过法利赛人的义是自己没有办法办得到的，就想办到，我们要靠圣灵的力量才能够办到。主耶稣来就是为了要给我们圣灵，圣灵就是主耶稣自己的生命在我们里面，圣灵把自己主耶稣的生命带到我们的心里面，我们的生命里面来。所以上帝的圣灵是我们每个基督徒必须要有的。你今天问问自己，在上帝的面前自己审查一下，我有没有圣灵。 But many Christians are afraid to receive the Holy Spirit for one reason. They are afraid that they will lose their character, their personality. They will become puppets, dummies, automatons, run by God. We cease to be what we are. We cease to have any character left. Don't you worry. There is no such danger. When the Holy Spirit takes over your life, you do not cease to be human. You do not become less yourself. But to your amazement, you become more yourself, more genuinely yourself. You know what is one of the fruits of the Spirit? Have you ever thought about it? Self-control. Yes, self-control. The Holy Spirit gives you the power to run your life and to control yourself. He does not take away your personality. Never think so. When the Apostle Peter received the Holy Spirit, he wasn't less Peter than he was before. No, he was Peter at his perfect best. You see, never think that the Holy Spirit takes away your personality and reduces you to some kind of a robot. God doesn't want to do that. He created us to be what he wants us to be, in the fullness, but in the splendor of what we should have been in Christ. And I say this because many Christians are afraid. Say, oh no, if the Holy Spirit takes over my life, what am I going to be? Don't you worry. You will be what you never were before, in its perfection and its beauty. You won't become a robot. The gift, fruit of the Spirit, self-control. The Holy Spirit gives you the power to be what you ought to be in all the beauty of Christ, but he doesn't take away your character. Don't you worry about that.所以我们接受了圣灵以后，不要害怕说，哦，我圣灵充满我以后，我就成为一个好像一个机器一样，也不成为一个人了，我这个性格完全没有了。不用害怕，圣灵的果子就是其中一个，就是能够自己控制自己的这个果子。有没有想到这一点？不是把你自己控制自己的能力取消掉，而是把它增强了。这样呢，圣灵给我们能够成为有基督的美丽在我们的生命里面，这样我们能够超过法利赛人，这是基督徒生活的美丽。 Let us then enter into the beauty, the fullness of the life that God has called us to, the excitement I should say too, rightly so. What a wonderful life. I don't know why Christians want to live a miserable, defeated, hypocritical life when God has prepared for them a wonderful life in the Spirit. Now let us, in conclusion, sing hymn number 240.